Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by Kate Geegan. Kate is an incredible force of energy, and she is, well, let me give you a little bit of a peek from her official bio, and then I'll tell you how I met her and why I was so excited to have her on the show today. Kate is an award-winning dietitian and nutrition pioneer who has helped millions of eaters discover and fall in love with foods that power a healthy life. She is the author of Go Green, Get Lean, Trim Your Waistline with the Ultimate Low Carbon Footprint Diet. She's a columnist for Clean Eating Magazine and a global thought leader in her field who is forging conversations around foods that are good for people and our planet. Kate collaborates with forward-thinking companies and organizations to transform the food system, empower eaters, and build a more sustainable future. Here's what I love too about Kate. She says, what I believe is simple. You should love the food you eat. We talk a lot, and let me rewind a little bit. I met Kate at an Allie Brown event in Scottsdale. This was about 2 years ago. It was October, I think, of 2015, if I'm correct. In fact, I literally just posted on Instagram today about booking my favorite hotel out at the, which is the Arizona Biltmore, in Scottsdale. And I'm excited to head back there because Scottsdale and Phoenix, the whole area, just has such great memories and such significant symbolism for me with the people that I've met out there, the people that are important to my life. My trainer, Whitney, is out there, and my best friend, my first doctor, who helped me with bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment is out there. And Kate Geegan as well is somebody that I met at that Allie Brown event who had such an impact because a lot of people are scared to talk to dietitians and nutritionists because they think that that person, that nutritionist or the dietitian is going to look at them and just scold them on everything they eat. And Kate has such a passion for getting people to understand that we're supposed to enjoy our food. We're supposed to love our food. That's a part of life. And in fact, what inspired her, we talk about it in great detail on the show. What got her interested in nutrition first was taking a trip to Italy way back when. It wasn't wanting to diet or get people to, you know, diet and lose weight. It was really about, you know, her passion was about getting people to enjoy food. We talk a lot about that. And I know that those of you that are listening that probably think, oh, I don't want to talk to a dietitian or a nutritionist, and they're just going to tell me I have to eat chicken and broccoli the rest of my life. You're going to walk away from this interview having learned quite a lot and feeling a lot better about making better nutritional choices for your overall health and living life and knowing, guess what? You know, you can have those treats. You can have that glass of wine. You can have that beer, whatever it is for you. If it's a brownie, if it's for me, sometimes it's just glazed donuts. That's my thing lately. But tune in. I know that you'll be excited. I think that you'll be just as impressed and wanting to tune into everything Kate does online as I am. And again, hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, I have a good friend who I met at an Allie Brown event. You'll have to tell me, a couple years ago, I think. But Kate Geegan, who I have been stalking to get on our show for quite a while, because as I shared with you all in the intro, she is an exceptionally talented, knowledgeable pioneer, change maker, speaker, author, mother, the be-all, know-all, end-all to all things diet and nutrition. Seriously, she's just a ball of fire, a wonderful woman, and I'm so excited and honored to have her on the show. I can't wait for this interview to go live and for you all to get to know her. So that said, Kate, I'm glad that you're on the show. I'm going to dive right in and welcome you and just ask. A lot of times, our audience knows that when I have folks on the show for the first time, I always want to have them share their story of, you know, hey, anybody can go to your website and see what you're doing now, right? They can see all the headway that you've made in the nutrition space. You work with businesses, you work with consumers. You've taught me so much. But when did you first feel that pull to living yourself a healthier lifestyle and then to pursuing this as your profession? When did you get started and why?
Oh, Kelly, it is great to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me and for inviting this conversation today. I'm so grateful that we met at the Allie Brown event. And let's jump right in. I grew up outside of Boston, and I grew up in an Irish family where both my parents worked, and truly everything I ate growing up came from a bag, a box, a pouch, or a can. Literally, like, nothing in my kitchen ever grew mold.
That was
progress. That was the future. Food was something really to be got over with at the end of the day and just almost like a hassle. And when I was 22, I actually bought a one-way ticket to Italy. And can I say, this was before Food Network. This was before the internet. This was when literally, I still remember my parents' calling card number because I checked in once a month.
Oh my God. Calling cards.
That was it. So, I mean, there was no FaceTiming, there was no emailing. Like, I was off. And Italy was still, it was before all of this excitement. It was still hard to find extra virgin olive oil in the United States. So I'm kind of dating myself there with that. But needless
we to say, that we did it with the calling cards, Kate. And I'm just going to put that out there. People know how old I am. But like when we were in college, and I don't know exactly what your age is, but I was in college and we didn't have emails. We didn't have laptops. We didn't have cell phones. And I used, if I had to call my mom from Ohio State, I would use that thing called a payphone. So right. Yeah, I'm just putting it out there that I can relate.
Okay, great. So we're on the same page. And yes, we had calling cards. So Italy was a whole revelation for this girl coming from things that were, you know, bagged and boxed up and everything you added hot water or stuck it in the microwave, which was the greatest revolution in the world, we all thought. So that was really where I earned my kitchen credentials. I worked at a cooking school. I opened my eyes to the sights and the flavors and the smells. When you walk into those big open markets and suddenly there are 50 shades of kale staring back at you and bitter greens, things that I had never seen growing up in the US. So it really set me on my path of two things. The first was falling in love with the taste of food and recognizing that food has to feel good and taste good and delight and excite all your senses if you're going to stick with any kind of an eating plan for life, and that good food should be fun. And secondly, that I wanted the science behind it. Why is it that everyone loves certain food pathways and that they have this longevity beyond trends? You know, that this was when everyone in the US was like duking it out over the last box of snack wells at the grocery store because fat-free was all
was
the rage.
So there. That snack wells was such a big part of my life when I remember reading, this is the truth. That was when I first started counting calories. I was sitting in a hotel room reading USA Today. Yes, that's when I read the hard copies of the paper. And they had a stat in there about weight loss. And they said, you know, it was something to the effect of, you know, if you have an extra 100 calories a week, that would be an extra like 600 calories times 4, that's 2,400. That's almost a pound a month. So every year you would gain 12 pounds, yada, yada, yada. And I remember sitting there thinking about like, that's like a banana, an extra banana a day. You know, that was before Starbucks became so big. But I remember I was eating Snackwell's cookies in my hotel room with a Diet Coke. I know right now you're face palming. I know you are. But I was having Snackwell's with a Diet Coke going, this is only 220 calories. It's okay.
Right. This is health and the future of good eating, right? I mean, that's unfortunately where we were. So it's It also, I want to say, Kelly, that time in Italy, and I've since gone back and done a lot of work with the Mediterranean diet and the health benefits of that. And now actually the genomics of the Mediterranean diet, which is really exciting. I'm heading back to Florence in October for a culinary genomics program, because what we're really seeing is some of those foods that have been linked to longevity and health also upregulate our healthiest genetic expression, which is really exciting. But that time in Italy anchored me from sort of this seesaw of following the latest trends and crazes and pushing an idea to the extreme to get results. And I think that groundedness, especially as our diet and food culture has gotten crazier and faster with the internet and with churning out of bestsellers and Instagram, and everyone's looking for what's next in this sort of, there's this almost, I think, false priority given to new information as though it somehow may be better. And of course, we always want to see what's on the leading edge and what's fresh, but there are some, you know, some time-honed things in the research we see that still really work that I think right now people are almost forgetting because everyone's in the race for what's next.
That's you had so many truth bombs there that I was taking notes, and I always make sure I tell people when we're recording these interviews that if you hear my pen scribbling because my microphone picks up everything, I'm not writing a love note to anybody. I'm taking notes because
I love it.
There's always so much that I'm like, oh, we should talk about that. But you made, incidentally, what's interesting about your childhood versus mine, and I think it's funny because I think this is true with so many of us. You grew up in Boston on processed foods primarily. I grew up, mm-hmm. and part of my growing up years was in Boston as well. We lived in North Andover. But my mom made everything homemade. And when I escaped my house, if you will, and I was 18 years old and I went to college, all I wanted was processed foods. That's all I wanted, was give me all the Pop-Tarts, all the Oreos, all of the like diet soda, all the things that I wasn't allowed to have fast food. I just couldn't wait. I wanted nothing. My mom made homemade macaroni and cheese. I wanted Kraft macaroni and cheese.
My mom
made homemade cookies. I wanted Chips Ahoy. It was like I just went on a field day with processed foods. So I think that's funny. Now, one, this is completely just a quick question because I don't know it. When you said genomics, what is genomics?
So this is a really exciting new frontier of nutrition after we've mapped the human genome. So your listeners might hear, they might be familiar with the 23andMe genetic mapping, the human genome. The really exciting part is that research is underway looking at how foods, you know, the old narrative, nutrition originally started off back in its origin was about identifying deficiencies. And so nutrition was about making sure you fixed deficiencies. Cod liver oil, for instance, comes to mind. Even the school lunch program was started during World War II because so many people failed the draft they failed the fitness to enlist that the government stepped in and said, we need to do something to fix deficiencies. And now, of course, we see that it's flipped and it's more about excess, too much sodium, too many refined foods, too many of the wrong types of calories. So then in the 80s and the 90s, it was all about, you know, fat is linked to your cholesterol levels and moving your HDL in the right direction and your LDL in the right direction. Really, what we're seeing is it's happening at a genetic level. How is this happening? Beyond the biochemistry, what is the genetic blueprint and what is being turned on and being turned off at the genetic level that is upregulating your biochemistry to be what it is? So the good news is you are not your genes, because environment is activation. So the type of lifestyle you choose, how active you are, other environmental things like toxins you might be exposed to, as well as diet. Food is information that tells your cells how to behave. It's more than the nutrition facts panel. It's more than just grams of fiber and protein and calories. It is information that tells your cells how to behave.
Okay, sorry. I'm writing down. I'm like in college right now. I'm writing down so many notes because there's so many things I want to ask. This is such good stuff. And you know, you brought up a point there that I think is a good place for us to step into this a little bit of a deeper dive. So I know that a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast, one of the number one emails that we get, tweets that we get if we're doing a Twitter chat, folks that write into us on our Facebook page, people are very confused, and you basically spoke to that about nutrition. And I know that a lot of people, when they hear the word nutritionist or dietitian, they automatically think kind of what you referred to, and I'm paraphrasing here. It's almost like, oh, if I'm taking care of nutrition, it's almost like it's medicinal. It's going to fix my problems. And it's almost like it's a prescription, right? I don't want to deal with nutrition unless there's something wrong with me.
Right. And a nutritionist is going to wag his or her finger and tell me what I can't eat and what I'm doing wrong. And it's not going to be fun. And I'm going to feel guilty. I mean, there's a whole baggage associated with, you know, dietitians especially that I really wish, I hope that there are people like myself out there trying to create a more positive and inspiring idea, because food is fuel for the life you want. Food is amazing. And I think just shifting that conversation in a way that perks up not just your taste buds, but also your heart and your mind is the real key to pull it out of just being the textbook to showing people, connecting the dots for people of, look, this is how you have the life you want. It starts with what kind of energy you are cultivating within yourself and the quality of that energy, the quantity of that energy, and that really begins with what you're putting in your grocery cart, what you're putting in your body.
You made a really good point there too, because what you shared with people and their opinions of dietitians or nutritionists is exactly what I hear. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, what I can tell our listeners is that whether it's attending industry conferences like FINSE or meeting folks like Kate, when I've met nutritionists and dietitians and folks that specialize in this area, frankly, they're the most they're the easiest to talk to, and they make me feel better about my food choices, because what I come out of those conversations with has been, okay, it's not the finger wagging. That was a great metaphor, if you will. It's not the finger wagging. And they tend to be like, hey, you know what? I have this or I have this. And I'm like, wow, you eat this? Like, no, they're not sitting in a pristine white room eating only organic chicken that has been flown in from God straight down. And it's manna with kale that's been blessed, you know, by holy, and it's covered in gold. That's not the way it is. Definitely there is an approach to eating that is going to what Kate, you just said a second ago, it's energy. It's going to, when you take control of what you're eating and paying attention to it, you should look at it as a privilege. That's the way this is my paraphrasing it. You should look at it as a privilege to say, I get to decide what I'm going to feed this temple. I've been using that word a lot lately on the show and in my own personal life, because I don't think we look at our bodies like a temple enough. And we really should. Mm-hmm. You have one life. You have one body. You were given this vessel. Why not see that you can get the most out of it? You can get the most out of this life. You're not supposed to drift through life and think, oh, it's all downhill after age 30. You can be living a vibrant life. And back to what you said, Kate, if you start looking at your food and your nutrition differently as to how can I feel better and perform better in life by what I choose to eat, and that doesn't mean you can't have some of your favorite foods occasionally or regularly. So that's going to be one of my first questions for you, because I certainly have shared on the show how changing my approach to eating, and I still have plenty of treats and the things that I love, but changing my approach to eating has dramatically altered my body at age 48, the way I feel. I don't have headaches and bloating like I used to all the time. It's a wonderful way to feel. But there's a lot of people that are listening that automatically think that getting healthier, using air quotes, or eating healthy, or eating, you know, like the Mediterranean approach, whatever, that they're not going to get to have anything they like. And I'm sure that that's something that you here? They think they have to cut out all sugar, all carbs, all fruit. What is it that you say to somebody who has that horrible attitude and they think, I can't change my life for the better? How do you answer that question? And how do you start, if you had 10 minutes with someone in an elevator, what would you give them for like some baby steps that they can stop thinking this is such punishment and start thinking like, hey, this isn't so bad. I can start moving in that direction.
Oh, that is such a fabulous question. And Kelly, I think you've hit the nail on the head with what the biggest struggle is for most of the people I meet. It's this idea of all or nothing, black and white. And, oh, if carbs are bad, I need to scrub carbs completely from my diet, or sugar. Okay, I have to turn everything in upside down. I can't have sugar. And then I make a mistake and I have sugar Friday, so I've blown it. I might as well make brownies this weekend and I'll dig out of the hole on Monday. This sort of seesaw of thinking. And I love that question because it's actually very simple. And contrary to the other thing I'm seeing right now is we live in this culture where people are almost losing confidence. And butter is the example that comes to mind. People are almost losing confidence in believing what health experts are saying because they fear that, well, tomorrow they're just going to change their mind. I mean, look at butter.
So true.
We're talking about butter. So you know what? I throw my hands up and I give up. So for those people, if I were in an elevator with you for 1 minute, I would say, here is what we know. And this is, there's very few, you only need to do a few things to get tremendous results, more than any medication. And this comes from Harvard. We see, first thing, focus your diet on minimally processed whole foods as close to how they look in nature as possible. Before you worry about fats versus carbs and proteins and ratios and grams, look at what your cart looks like. That big box at the bottom of your grocery cart, have that be filled with mostly unrefined whole plant foods. And then that tiny part at the top, that's where your animal products should fit. If that's what your cart looks like, almost an 80-20, 80% whole plant-based, 20% animal products. And hey, if you can squeeze in that bag of chips or that weekly little box of cookies or whatever you want in that top 20%, you are going to do great. You are going to be flooding your system with nature's pharmacy, because plant foods, after eating minimally processed whole foods as close to the source, I would say plant foods, that's the number one thing most people need to focus on adding more of, more vegetables, more fruits, more intact ancient grains. And you can do that gluten-free, or you can do that just ancient whole grains, you know, the spelt, the wheat berries, the kashi, if you want. The reason is it gives us the package that nature intended, which is optimally set up for our biology. The more you eat closer to nature, the more you are closer to that biological matrix of fiber and micronutrients and fat and protein that keep your blood sugar stable, your energy stable, your brain chemistry stable, as well as those micronutrients that you need for all of the enzymatic, metabolic processes in your system. So those are the big ones. And the third thing I'd say for most people, after that, look at what's in your glass, and you should be eating your calories and drinking water, tea, coffee, but not drinking sugary calories. Those are the three things. If you get those three things straight, Kelly, you are so ahead of the game. And thinking back to your earlier example of the Diet Coke and the snack wells, which I remember that perfectly because I'm 45. Think of the difference between eating Diet Coke and snack wells versus what I just described.
So true. And I think a lot of people you mentioned in their fear, and we hear that a lot. I hear that from my parents. I hear that from people that write in to Fitfluential. I hear that from people that will ping me on Instagram or Facebook, you know, and I have had that. I am very transparent when I share with people as I've progressed and started to trust my gut and my intuition and making some choices around food, it's very common in the fitness space, if you will, the fitness community, whether you're a fitness competitor and you're going that hardcore, or if you're just somebody who's lost a tremendous amount of weight and had a great success, it's very easy to get some sort of disordered eating. And when I say that, I just mean like you can start to fear food. You can fear, if you've been going gluten-free for a while, you can get to that point where you're scared if you have. And again, what I'm starting to learn is relax a little bit. Like you said, if you fill up that cart, and for everybody that's listening, you know, fill up your cart. She's not saying you can't have you can only have this kind of cookie, or you should only, if you're going to have a dessert, you should only have it at a restaurant with the purest of ingredients. I'm learning as I go along. Again, it's more of that 80-20, maybe it's for some people 85-15. Eat more of the good stuff. Don't freak out when you decide to have a glass of wine or dessert with your friends. Don't obsess about it, because frankly, and I would like to see if you agree, I feel like the more that I stressed when I would have that dessert or those donuts, or maybe it was the Snackwells or Pop-Tarts or whatever, I would freak out at stress and I'd be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? How much sugar? Did I just destroy everything I did this week? It was more of the stress that would end up setting me back than if I just said, you know what? I made a little mistake. I'm going to kick butt tomorrow. Do you think stress can be just as much of a, I don't know, detractor to moving forward in your health and fitness journey as maybe that actual brownie that you ate or that glass of wine or the beer?
100%, Kelly. I stress, frankly, today in the United States with our fast-paced lifestyle, our constant information, and the guilt and anxiety we feel, stress is corrosive. It really corrodes from the inside out. And so to your point, 100%, you know, if you go back to Italy, look at what they do. They say meats and sweets on Sundays. So
I love it.
Idea of when is the time to have a sweet? It's on a Sunday. Stroll down, have an ice cream cone with your family. Maybe pick that store that's serving the coconut ice cream if you want, or the gluten-free choice if that fits your lifestyle. But yes, enjoyment and not stressing. And if you're doing it right 90% of the time throughout the week and you're eating meals and snacks, then actually it's fine. And it probably is going to help you feel satisfied. Even the World Health Organization, American Heart Association say, you know, just no more than 10% of your calories should come from added sugars. So for a lot of your listeners, if they're well below that, often for one day a week or every other week to have something is absolutely what life and pleasure and joy is about, and frankly is probably going to help you keep on track, because you don't feel deprived, because you do feel satisfied. And of course, we can talk about, yes, dark chocolate is better for you, and there's ways to make that treat sort of a healthier indulgence. But at the 10,000 foot level, when you're looking at your life, it's the daily choices you make and having the trust and confidence. I'm actually on the Global Council of Directors of the True Health Initiative, which comes out of Yale. It's David Katz. And Sanjay Gupta is on this council, and Deepak Chopra and Andrew Weil and Alice Waters. And David Katz brought this group together because he said there's so much infighting around what is, quote, the best way to eat, that I want to bring together the world's experts to show consensus and show where we agree. So it's called the True Health Initiative. If any of your listeners want to go there, you can see the principles that the experts agree. And they even have, by the way, Colin Powell from China Study on board. And it really begins with these principles I'm telling you. Minimally processed whole foods, lots and lots of plant foods, smaller amounts of high quality animal products, and regular activity and regular self-care, so you aren't stressed and anxious. And really, this is going to give you greater results for things like reducing heart disease and diabetes and your risk for several cancers, not to mention help you, as you said, step into your best body, feel your best, and sleep well at night.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I wish I could I wish I could frame what you just said, because everything you just said there in this last part, I mean, the whole interview has been great, but I love it because I think folks that are listening to this episode, if you're really listening and you take a step back and you hear both from my experience and in what I've gone through, I've gone through somebody that was very uptight, a lot of extreme dieting, not being secure in my own decisions around food, mm-hmm. kind of jumping on the next trend, always wanting short-term results too. And I'm still a work in progress. I still sometimes have those food issues creep up.
And that's so many of us, Kelly. Yeah. That story is what all of us have, that to some degree. And it is absolutely, I think, the challenge of the food ecosystem we live in the United States. So no one should feel like, oh my gosh, I'm alone in having those feelings. That, I think, is where America as a whole is right now.
For sure.
Which is why we need experts to come out. And I think it is important to come out with some calm, with some positivity, with some focus on here are the real wins. If you want the biggest wins for yourself and frankly for the planet, which is my next big passion project, is really working on food that's not just good for us, but good for our world and our communities and our food system. This is where we start.
It's, and you know, what you said as well, and the way you just said it there, I love, because again, folks that are listening, she hasn't said, here's what you need to do. You need to have the Mediterranean diet. You need to have low carb. You need to be gluten-free. You need to be vegan. You need to be paleo. There hasn't been any of those rules or hard lines. And that's really what I've been trying to get across with the guests that we choose to have on the show is, and really bringing in the tagline that we trademarked when I started Fitfluential, which was, gosh, my 6-year anniversary is coming up this week. But it's fitness found, and that means fitness and nutrition found. And what I mean by that is find what works for you, and that means what works for you. If that means that you're vegetarian, but you sometimes eat fish, you don't need to explain that to anybody. Like, that's your thing, and that's what works for you. If you stick with what Kate said, which, and here, do you hear how like laid back and comfortable she is saying, like, mostly eat real foods, stick with the organics. Are there better choices? Yeah, but have that, you know, have that glass of wine if that's what it is for you. Have this or that. But be very relaxed about it. And people, I can tell you, Kelly Alexa, I just talked about myself in the third person, has come from being the most uptight person with so many issues. And I had stomach aches and headaches all the time. And I was not where I wanted to be in my fitness journey. And I have learned to come this far, trust my gut, for the most part, focus on what Kate said, eat real foods. But you know what? If I end up having, you know, something with gluten in it, I no longer panic about it and go, oh my God, did I just ruin everything for the past month? And then I go buy some book at Barnes and Noble and obsess over what new program I should start on Monday. I don't do that. Yeah. And the more that I've chilled out and decreased my stress, I'm starting to enjoy food. And I think maybe, you know, Kate, of course, I'm going to get you back on the show. Like, that's a no-go. I mean, it just has to happen. But a big thing, when you talked about Italy, I think this is a good place to close, because we're running up on the end of our time here. But, you know, you mentioned loving life, enjoying your food, enjoying the time around the table, enjoying time with friends and family. And that's what, when I think of Italy, or if I think of Greece, a friend of ours that's going to be on the show, he actually has an olive oil vineyard over in Greece, and we're going to be promoting some of this olive oil fresh. In fact, I think I'm going to be going to, I think I'm going to Greece for the harvest in November, but he was over there for a month. And the pictures that he sent to me of just enjoying time with the locals and eating food, and he was eating to his heart's content. And I looked at those pictures, and all I see are people that are enjoying the fellowship and community with each other. They're enjoying food, and they're not like so uptight like we are in this country. I think about how uptight everybody is and worried about gluten-free and calories and macros.
And it's not serving us. It's not serving us. And I love what you said. So I would, my last point to this beautiful summary that you just did is, think of diet. I just gave you the big building blocks, mostly plants, 80-20 plants, high quality animal products, minimally processed whole refined foods, intact whole ancient grains, or gluten-free options if you're doing that. But you can pick the variation on the theme. That's the theme, but dance to your own music in the grocery cart. Find your theme. If your theme is that you want to be gluten-free or you have food sensitivities, you can do that within that framework that I just gave you. And that's the beauty of it. And then you don't have to stress. But there is no one silver bullet magic that fits every single human being, because we are all different, but we are all united in the fact that we crave pleasure at the table. We want joy, and we want to feel confidence in what we are choosing to put in our bodies.
Oh, that needs to be a bumper sticker. I don't think it would fit, but that really needs to be a bumper sticker and maybe a coffee mug and a t-shirt. So I love it.
Kate, I love it.
This is like a show I want to frame, because I know people listening are going to come away much more comfortable and excited, and having learned a lot. So I want to thank you. But for those that are just tuning in, of course, we'll have this in the show notes. Where can they find you online?
So I'm on kategagan.com. That's GEAGAN.com. Follow me Twitter on Green Eating, on Facebook, Kate Geagan, or Instagram. And you can find on my website, I have deeper dives in all this. If you really want the how-to, what kinds of flowers, what kinds of produce should I be eating? We can go into all those details, but that's the big picture right there for you.
So awesome. Kate, I couldn't have asked for a perfect first interview. This was awesome. Can't wait to hang out with you again.
I would love to come back and let's dive into some more good stuff, Kelly.
Well, yeah, maybe when we'll have to talk about when you guys are here for Fincy, maybe doing Facebook Lives or whatever. We'll figure it out. But I can't wait to see you. Thanks so much for being on the show. Everybody tuning in, make sure you tune into fitfluentialradio.com. The show notes will be there. Of course, if you have any questions for the next time Kate is on the show, you can either contact her on her website or let us know, and we will pass that on. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.